You are listening to a sermon podcast from Kingdom City. We pray that over the next few moments, you will be blessed, equipped, and empowered to bring the reality of God to your world.
Welcome to the Word of God. You know, there are two reasons I can think of why you need to hold on to your faith in this season and time. One is because God is doing such amazing things in Kingdom City. Have you read the testimonies? Have you seen how people have been saved, how salvation and healings are just happening all over Kingdom City? Obviously, God is moving us into a whole new place, and we need to take our faith and cause it to rise up to that whole new place. But there's a second reason why I think we need to be so strong in holding on to our faith. That's because we live in a time where there's so many different perspectives, worldviews, and mindsets and arguments, and we just need to keep our focus on God and not be distracted with all that is happening. You are right. My sermon is called Hold On to Your Faith. I believe we are in times where so many things can come and discourage us and frustrate us, and we can give up our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, our faith in the cross, our faith in the body and blood of Jesus and what it has done in our life. So I tell you what, I'm going to give you three key words, and I hope you will hold these words to your heart as it helps you in this season to press into the things God has for you and not to be distracted by the things around you. You ready for this? Okay, first word, persistence. Don't you like that? Persistence, especially persistence when the scenario and the situation is so unjust and when you're caught in such an helpless place. How do you persist through that and not give up? I think one of the best stories in persistence is the widow who came to the unjust judge. This is the parable, isn't it, that Jesus spoke about. Here you have in Luke chapter 18, verse 1 to 8. All right, this great story. And he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. Now here you know the purpose or why Jesus is telling us this parable. He doesn't want us to lose heart. He doesn't want our motivation, our passion, our desire, our faith to lose heart at this point. He wants us, in fact, to rise up and pray like never before. So he tells us this story or parable. There was a certain city, in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God nor regard men. But there was also a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, "Get justice for me from my adversary." The moment she says, "Get justice for me," you know it's a very unjust situation. There is an adversary who is coming against her, and she does not have the power, she does not have the influence, probably does not even have the money to fight against an adversary who is coming against her. All she has is this judge, who is a very unjust judge, who doesn't care at all about her, doesn't even fear God, all right? So immediately you recognize there's a scenario here where there's one very powerful person, the judge, and one person who is extremely helpless, and that is the widow. And you can find yourself in such situations where it's just not just, not fair, not right, but you're absolutely helpless. This parable, Jesus says, press in prayer. Be persistent. That's what the widow does in this story. And she just keeps on going on and on until the judge says, "Whoa, if I don't give her what she wants, she's just going to wear me out." And so he gives her what she wants. She persists. He gives her what she wants, is to give her justice against her adversary. The word adversary is also used for Satan, for the enemy that comes against you, all right, to destroy you, to come unfairly against you. And she just persists. But then we're told We're told, if this is what the unjust judge will do, how much more your Heavenly Father? How much more God will come on your behalf? Verse 7 then says, and shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him, though He bears long with them? Don't you think God will come? He hears you who are chosen by Him. Will He not come to fight your case for you? Verse 8 tells, I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He really find faith upon the earth? That's a great question to ask. Even though God will come to fight for His elect, even though God will come quickly, the implication here is if you persist, if you press in, if you never and never and never and never and never give up, but continue to trust God, God will come and fight your battle for you. In seasons like we are going through in this time, you must begin to embrace that persistence, that need to say, I am not going to give up. I am going to press because I know my God will come here and He will come quickly. It's almost as though God is saying, I will change heaven's timing and agenda and rush to meet the need of my child. And maybe there's some people today you're saying, God, I've reached the end of this. I don't know if I've got any strength. Hey, let this word, persistence, come into your heart and spirit and arise, press into the things of God. Your God is coming. He's coming to fight your case. He's coming to answer your prayer. Hold on to your faith. Do not let the circumstances, do not let your lack of understanding of the circumstances, don't let the seasons come and seasons go, but your God and your faith must remain in that God that you believe in. All right? Hold on to that. That's the first word. Persistence in seasons where it's so unjust and where you feel so helpless. God comes to fight your case. Ready for the second one? I think this is a great one. This is the word determination. This is what I'm going to give you, determination. Determination is a function of the human will. To set your will, all right, and persist what God has called you to do. The way God made us, you remember how God created the human race? And when He came to creating men, He finished and He looked at it. He was pretty impressed. He said, wow, this is good. This is very good. God was so caught up with the way He had created you and me. And there is within that creation is our will. And our will is powerful. Our will is amazing. And if you set your will, if you set your will for the things of God, you won't move right, you won't move left, you won't give up, you will keep pressing until you reach that goal. That's what Jesus did. He set His face to the cross. He set His face to the cross. Even God said, when they were building the Tower of Babel, remember that story? God said, hey, when these guys set their heart to something, you can't stop them. That's the power of the will by which God created us, and then He redeemed that human will on the cross through the blood of Christ. Okay, so we're talking of determination, but I want to apply it in seasons where you're offended, in seasons where you're hurt, in seasons where you're tempted. Oh, those are the hard times. How do I keep my determination and hold on to my faith? Let me give you a scripture in Hebrew chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Verse 12 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, listen to this, despised the shame, wow, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Again, this case, the writer here, the Hebrew writer, is writing because he does not want you to become weary and discouraged in your soul. So he begins to explain this. So here you have this great cloud of witnesses, those who have walked in faith before you and me, and there they are cheering you on in this walk with Christ. Then he says, lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Hold on a minute. How can sin so easily ensnare us? Are we not in Christ? Are we not in the Spirit of God? Do we not have the Word of God? Then how come sin can so easily ensnare? How can we get? Now, it only makes sense if you look at the phrase before that says, let us lay aside every weight. Now, this word weight is not given so clearly in the context of what we're reading, so let's look a little bit more into it. It actually speaks of a wound or a hurt that is in the core of your being. It's like this. You've been so hurt. Something has happened in the journey of your life. You're hurt. You're wounded. It's almost as though a dagger was pierced into your heart. That hurts you. But because you wanted to remove it, you pulled that dagger out. And when you did that, the tip of the dagger, the tip of the knife snapped and broke. And that little bit is still inside. The outside looks good. All right. You remove the dagger. You think, hey, I'm okay. You think, I'm all right. Nobody knows. But the inside continues and it weighs down on you. This grief, this pain, this sorrow, this hurt just does not go away and it holds you. Now, when you have the weight, what happens? Sin can now enter so easily in. Sin can enter, it can ensnare you, it can take away the enduring strength you need to run the race. It can take away your focus that you need to keep looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. It can rob you of the joy that Jesus showed you how he set himself to endure the cross. It can bring back the shame, not despise the shame, and therefore take away. And what happens in the end? You become weary of this Christian journey, weary of walking as a disciple of God, discouraged from serving and speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you think, where is God? But it all comes back, doesn't it, to that weight. And where does that weight come upon your heart and your mind and your thoughts? It is that unhealed part of you, and you haven't dealt with it. In the book of Genesis, there's a story between two brothers, Cain and Abel. They both brought an offering before God. Abel's offering was found acceptable to God and Cain's offering was not. Cain was offended. He was offended. He was jealous of his brother. He carried that offense so much in his heart that it became so deep within. God, because God is loving, because God's a father, comes to him even when he's struggling. Look at this, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. God is talking to Cain. He says, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do well, will you not be accepted? You see, this is the thing. We want to do it our way. We want to do it when we want. We want to go, I will choose my own ways. And God's saying, hey, if you will do it the way I've set it before you, if you do it the way I designed you and designed the earth, if you will do it the way and the principles and the strategies of God, if you will do it well, will you not be accepted? Why are you getting offended here? And God says, but if you do not do well, you want to do it your own way, you're just having a big fight and a tantrum and a sulk, all right? If you do not do it well, He wants you. This is God warning Cain, says, hey, sin lies at the door. And the picture is, of course, sin is an animal about to get ready to bounce on you and get hold of you. And God's saying, hey, there's this time period, this little window where you must make up your mind whether you're going to yield and surrender to me or whether you're going to rebel and reject me, because sin is already focused to jump on you. This is what it means when it says that sin so easily ensnares you. There's a writer who says it's as though sin slipped into your life and your heart and rested on you as fine silk, and you did not even know it. Wow. There you can see that. So there you are, whether it's the story of Cain and Abel, whether it's the text we read in Hebrew, we need to have a determination to deal with this weight, because this weight will bring in sin. This weight will steal our joy. This weight will cause us to lose our focus from Jesus Christ. This weight will cause shame to grow, not despise the shame. We will get weary. We will become discouraged and we lose our faith. So why not have the determination in the midst of hurt, in the midst of feeling so offended, and decide, you know what? I'm not going to give up my faith. I'm going to hold on to my faith. I'm going to come to Jesus. I'm going to deal with this issue. In a moment, I'm going to pray. Wherever you are, you can receive that anointing to heal your broken heart. All right? But I do want to talk about a third thing. So we had persistence, we had determination to hold on to our faith. Let me give you a third one, strength. You must have strength to hold on to your faith, because if you lose your strength and you do not have it, you let go of the faith. You should be holding on to press into the things and the season and the timing and the purpose of God for you, your family, for your city, for your connect group, for your hub. There's so much you need to rise up, but we need to have strength. And when we look at strength in the midst of spiritual attacks, in the midst of the deception of the enemy, in the midst of all that's happening in your world, or the whole world for that matter, there's a great text, isn't it? In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. I love this. Ephesians 6, 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Did you get that? Be strong in the Lord. Not be strong in my mind or be strong in my own personality or my own nature. You're not getting this. You got to be strong in the Lord. All right. And the power of His might, because these are battles that we need God, who transcends beyond our human strength or our mental capacity, beyond it. And He comes and gives us a strength under intense spiritual conditions or difficulties or circumstance. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God. I do want to focus on that word whole, not part of the armor, not parts that I like. You see, we live in a contemporary society where we like to cut and paste, to mix and match. We want our uniqueness. We want it to be our way. And so you may be even looking at all the armor that you have and you're taking parts of the armor. Maybe you're not taking parts of the armor. Have you thought of that? All right, you're choosing the paths you want. He goes on to say, hey, look at these forces of the enemy, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, the spiritual hosts of wickedness. It gives you this hierarchy of spiritual forces, not to frighten you, but to say the battle is intense, the battle is beyond flesh and blood, the battle is beyond our material reality, it is coming from a spiritual reality. If you want to deal with that, because it's organized, it's planned, it's systematic, and it's coming your way. If you want to do that, you got to, he repeats, verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, your faith is not going to be shaken. You're not going to give up the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to stand strong. If anything, you're going to grow. You're going to increase your faith and your capacity, your anointing, your authority is going to rise up. The key word is put on the whole armor of God. If you put on the whole armor of God, which is in Christ, it does not matter all this hierarchy of host and evil one, you will be strong in the might of God. So my question to you is, do you have favorite pieces of armor that you love to pick up? You love truth, but you can't go into a battle just having a belt and nothing else. You can't just say, I like the sword of the Spirit. You can't just take the sword of the Spirit, otherwise be undressed except for the sword of the Spirit and try to fight the enemy. It's not going to work. As ridiculous as it sounds, it's not going to work. Now, I want to zone in on one particular piece of armor. Look at that. In verse 15, it says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I think sometimes this is the one we forget. This is the one we ignore. This is the one we don't pay any attention to. We forget. They put on all the beautiful armor, breastplate, beautiful helmet, take the sword. Everything sounds so dramatic and glamorous. And we forget the shoes. And because we forget the shoes, that lack of preparation to preach the gospel, because we forget the shoe, the enemy gets you in your walk. Because the shoe is for you to walk. The shoe is for you to run. The shoe is for you to move into the direction of faith. And you just have to step on a nail and there you are. You are out despite the beautiful armor. My question to you is, are you ready, prepared to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ? So let's put it in a practical way. If I said I had a few minutes, share the gospel to me, will you be able to share the gospel? If I say, hey, how come you believe in Jesus? Can you tell me your story and testimony? Maybe we should take time to write this down. Maybe we should take time to speak it. Not because only we are commissioned and called to preach the gospel, but it is part of the armor of God. And it will give you the strength that is in our Lord Jesus. It will give you the power of His might, that you may have strength to hold on to your faith in seasons that are shifting and changing. And you need to hold on to it. So there we have. It's three words. Hold it to your heart. Persistence, determination, strength. Wherever you are, stand up with me. I just want to pray for you and pray over you in a moment that God may give you strength. Whichever area you are struggling with, I'm going to release an anointing to come and there be right there before. You know, we can appropriate heaven's supernatural anointing and begin to release it. And I appropriate this anointing, this heavenly anointing wherever you are, in your home, in your room, in your hub, wherever you're listening, whatever time, whichever country, let the presence of God tangibly come where you are. Now, for those of you who are feeling like giving up, let the anointing bring back that persistence. that you ought to pray and not lose heart. I release that upon you. I release that. Your heart is getting strong. Your persistence to pray. I release that in Jesus' name. For those of you who feel I haven't dealt with this wound and therefore it's a weight on me, I release an anointing to heal your broken heart. Let it flow through the days and the histories of your life. Let it go back to that moment or that season of hurt that is still within you. Let the anointing remove that little bit of the dagger that still is in your heart. Let this be a spiritual surgery. Let the presence of God bring an anointing to heal. Be healed in the wounds and the hurts of your heart. Your God is able to take that out of you so there is no opportunity or door for sin. And now you can flow and walk into the race that is set before you. Finally, I pray. I pray that today there will be a compassion from heaven itself that touch you. That you say, God, I forgot to put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Give me a heart that longs, that cries, that has a burden for the loss. Maybe for people in your own family. Maybe for the friends you go out with. Maybe for the people you work with. Maybe for the neighbors around you. Oh, put on that. Say today to God, I'm going to prepare myself. I'm going to write down in just a few words my story, my testimony of how Jesus saved me or healed me. And if someone or God, someone was to ask me in a few words, I will share because I am ready with that preparation of the gospel. And I pray that within this week, the opportunity will come to you. And you will be so ready to share the gospel, and it will bring strength to you to hold on to your faith. Receive this in Jesus' name. Receive this in the name of Jesus. I release this grace and anointing upon you. I release this grace and anointing to wherever you are. Let that presence of God fill you. There's some of you and you need to hold on to your faith because the healing presence of God is coming. You prayed over a physical sickness, disease problem, skin problem. And now I release the anointing of God. God is coming to fight your case. And that anointing is coming to heal you now in the name of Jesus. Just lift up your hands. Just receive this healing in your body. Receive the healing in your body.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you have never entered into a relationship with Jesus, we want you to know that He loves you very much. So much that He died on the cross for all of your sins that stood between you and God. If you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus today, all you need to do is to repeat this prayer. Dear God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm not right with you, and I want to be right with you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of my life. Thank you for saving me and making me your child. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if God has done anything in your life because of this podcast, we would love to know. Email us at testimony@kingdomcity.com.